Has there been a time in your life when things were just going well? That you were on the right path? I mean, things were just, you knew the direction you were headed, you had focus, and things were just going so well. And then something happens. Calamity comes. Unforeseen circumstances, some massive obstacle comes right in your path. And you begin to wonder. You begin to doubt your course. It's in these times that our faith is tested. That now the uncertain path, what I hope to show you today, becomes the proving grounds of our faith. And we look this morning at an example of Elijah. To understand what happens that in our lives when the brook dries up, what do we do? We talked about Elijah a couple of months ago, but I want us to look at this in 1 Kings chapter 17. So turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to look there at the first 9 verses. And as we look at this morning, I really want us to answer 2 questions. One is, what are we to trust in? And 2, when are we to trust? And so beginning there in verse 1, it says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word.' And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Rise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.'" Now, as we think about this idea of what are we to trust in, when we think about what is going on in the context here, Ahab is king of Israel. And we see that he is so enamored with Baal. That is who he worships. That is the idol that he holds to. And so God has called Elijah to go before Ahab. And what he says is he gives this decree saying, there is not going to be any rain, there's not going to be rain or dew for years. Until it comes through God by way of Elijah. Now, Baal at that time, he is looked on as this god of fertility. So if you want to have good crops, you would go and you'd worship Baal and you'd give an offering to Baal so that you could have plenty. Well, what God is saying is, I'm going to show you who the real God is. I'm going to take away the rain. And so what we see here is, not only does God tell Elijah what he is to say to Ahab, but then he also gives him the direction because he says, you need to go hide yourself because Ahab is going to come after you. And so we first see that God provides. He provides protection for Elijah. Ahab begins the search for Elijah over all of his kingdom. He's looking for this one who by his words is destroying his kingdom. And he hides Elijah from the harm of Ahab. And so he sends him. At this point in time, Ahab is over here in Samaria, and he sends him all the way over here. So here's Sea of Galilee, right here's the Jordan River, and down here's the Dead Sea. So he sends him all the way over here to this offshoot of the Jordan River, the brook Cherith. God also also protects him in many ways from the suffering of Israel, from the pain of others. Because he tells him, you go hide yourself over there. It's possible that Elijah, as he might have seen the suffering of all of Israel, he could have asked God to bring the rain sooner. He provides for his physical needs. God tells him, you're going to drink from this brook, and I'm going to have ravens come and bring you food. And so by a miracle, Elijah is provided for by these ravens. They come in the morning and in the evening, and they bring him bread and meat. While the rest of the nation of Israel is suffering, Elijah's needs are well met. And so Elijah is on the right path, you might say. Things are going okay for him. He lives despite so much suffering around him. But then God provides loss. While the bread and the meat were provided from a miraculous standpoint, God said, you're going to drink from this brook. So he's relying, or God is using, or he's within the confines of nature for Elijah to have drink. Now, why did that happen? I mean, think about it. Day by day, Elijah would have watched the brook diminish. His path that seemed so certain now might seem to become more in jeopardy. Wait a minute. My water source is drying. Why the loss? Why not just God continually give him water, food, and everything that he needs up until the time that God desired to bring back the rain? Well, it is only because in loss do we see our true dependence on what truly matters. You see, it is a test of the gift or the giver. Because there is a difference between trusting in the gift rather than trusting in the giver. As long as the gift is good, the reality is it's easy to trust. If things are going well in my life, my career is going well, I've got good health, there's no real problems in my family, it's easy to trust in God and say, thank you, God, for all of the blessings that you give to me. But what happens when the gift changes? When provisions turn to loss, what happens to our faith? There's a story told of a family. They had a toddler little girl, and they were at someone's house who had a pool, and they were watching, but they had gotten to talking, and so the little girl actually falls in the pool. But they were able to get her out and save her. And the man said, as he was driving home, he and his wife were just giving praise and glory to God because their little daughter had been saved. But it hit him as he was driving. He said, would I have been giving the same praise and thanksgiving to God had it been a different outcome? If she had died, would I still be saying, God, you are great. God, you are good. Thank you for the blessing that you give to me. You see, sometimes our faith is connected to those gifts rather than the giver. And that when we are seeking God only for the good things that He gives us, we have to question where our faith truly is. One man said it this way, unbelief sees God through circumstances. That our view of God depends upon what's going on in our life. If things are good, oh God, you are such a great and loving God. If things are going bad, God, where are you? What are you doing to me? Why are you so hard on me? It's looking at God through circumstances in our life. Job, though, is the one that said, shall we accept good from God and not accept adversity. But what we see is Elijah trusted in the giver. He trusted not in what he received, but in who God is. That God is truth. And what he says, he will do. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17, there it says, "In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us." This is who God is. He doesn't lie. What he says comes to pass. And so we can hold on to that. We can take that as this hope for us. That when he says things to us, we can take hold of that. Elijah remembered that God told him, "Go to this brook Cherith, and I will provide for you there." Did you realize that God sent ravens to give him bread and meat? Ravens are actually unclean according to Jewish law. I don't know exactly why God did that. He could have sent doves. But here, Elijah is even having to look beyond that and say, "God said this, so I'm gonna accept this." One man said it this way: "Faith is not a sense, nor sight, nor reason, but a taking God at His word." What are we to trust? We are to trust in God's word. That what He says He will do, no matter how dark, no matter how bleak our path seems. You see, true faith says instead of seeing God through the circumstances, it changes that around and it puts God between us and the circumstances, and it looks through God to the circumstances. It changes our perspective, so that no matter what bad circumstances we are going through, we know that God is working for us. Because that's what He said. That's what He's told us. That's what it says in James chapter 1 and verse 17. "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." God says, "I am the good giver. What I place in your lap is good for you." And then He says in Romans 8 and in verse 28, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." God causes all things to work together for good. That doesn't say that God brings about all good all the time, but He brings all of these things to work for good for those who love Him. Well, what are we then, or excuse me, when are we to trust? To answer that, I want us to look at the moment that God provided for Elijah. Day after day, Elijah watched and waited. Why don't you just put yourself in his shoes, if you will? He watched that brook dry up. From a brook to a small little thread, to then there were just maybe little pools of water, to then there's no water. And it's just a dry, cracked riverbed. The birds no longer come. The wild creatures no longer come, as there's no longer water there to give them sustenance. But he waited for what the Lord would provide. You see, it says, "Only when nothing was left did God come to his aid? Notice that there in verse 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came saying, arise, go to Zarephath. Only at that point, when there was no more water, did God act for Elijah. Notice then what he does. God says, go to Zarephath. Some 85 miles up into Gentile territory. He goes to a Gentile city. And he goes to a Gentile widow. Now, in that day and age, if you were a widow, most of the time, you were poor. Because you didn't have the family to support you. And so think about what God is telling Elijah. You go to Zarephath, this Gentile place, and I have a widow who is provided, who will provide for you. In human terms, we've gone, really? Is that what you want for me, God? And yet that's exactly what Elijah does. He goes. The point for us to see is that Elijah patiently and unwaveringly trusted from beginning to end. He kept trusting. He kept each step of the way. He kept trusting God. What's the point for us? We are to always trust in God. Now, you may look at it and say, well, wait a minute. Now, Elijah was a prophet of God. He had things that we don't have. No, James dispels that rumor for us. James tells us in James chapter 5 that Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. He's just like you and me. I mean, we saw that a couple of months ago. Elijah gets, he gets in despair. He gets depressed. He's just like us. My point being here is that we can have the same faith and trust that Elijah had to say, God, you tell me what to do, and I will go do it. I will trust in you. But do we trust always? I mean, think about it. If you were in Elijah's shoes, would you have trusted like that? I think many of us would have gotten anxious and started planning long before the water dried up. Wow, it's getting down. It's just a little bit of a flowing here. I got to figure something out now. You know, I got to come up with a plan. You know, I mean, you can just see us. We're pacing back and forth, up and down the bank of the riverbed, wondering, okay, what are we going to do? Instead of just saying, God, it's in your control. You know, even before the brook would have dried up, we would have had a plan. And have been asking God to bless our plan. Because that's what we do, because we think we are in control. But Elijah realized, I'm not in control. God is. And so I'm going to put my trust in Him. You see, the problem many times is that our worry can become a lack of faith. George Mueller said it this way, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. The beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. I don't think he's saying there, the very moment that I have any type of worry, I've just given up all of my faith in God. But that begins that downward spiral when I start thinking, I start worrying, well, what about this? What about that? What happens if this or this or this or this? Instead of just saying, you know what, I just need to be still. Let God work in my life. You see, in anxiety, we aren't allowing God to be God. We're not letting Him do the work, but we're trying to do it ourselves. And many times it seems unsafe to just sit there and be still, just to let God work. And yet that is exactly what it says in Psalm 37 and verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. We talked about this passage before in terms of our prayers. As when we go to God in prayer, do we just give it over to God, or do we give it over for a moment, and then when we get up from prayer, do we put that burden right back on our shoulders and say, yeah, I got to figure out a way to do this? That word commit is to roll over our burdens. That's what we've got to do. Have you ever seen someone who cannot swim and they're drowning? And then someone goes to rescue them. Have you ever seen someone, they're trying to help the rescuer, you know, but they're trying to fight, they're trying to get on top of the rescuer. They're hindering the process of the rescue. Many times that's what we do with God. Because we think, okay, God, I got this, I got this plan, I got this all worked out, and God's saying, stop. Just let me work. I know better than you do. So just be still. See, remember, God said He would provide, which brings us back to the very first point, is we need to trust in His Word. But I recognize that that's hard for us to do. In a world where we live, where we are called to pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps, how is it that we are to trust in God always? I would say this: we need to remember where you are. I found this statement that was said a long time ago, but it rings true. The eagle that soars in the upper air does not worry itself as to how it is to cross rivers. Think about that. Do you ever see an eagle sitting on the side of a riverbank going, that is some really deep water, I don't know how I'm ever going to get over it? No. Why? Because the eagle's not down below. He's up above it all, looking at the majesty of it all as he circles over and over, and he crosses back and forth over mountains and rivers and whatever is below him. My point is this: we need to recognize that we are children of God, and we have been raised to sit in heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, it says that God raised us up with Him, that's with Jesus Christ, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Don't let go of that. Hold on and understand that we have been raised, not just raised spiritually to walk this new life. We have been raised up out of this world, if you will, to sit with Jesus Christ. Which means we are up there with the eagles. We're not down below wondering, how am I going to cross this river? See, if we see the value that God places upon us and the heights of where we have been seated, that should change our perspective. Such that whatever great calamity is in your life right now, whatever obstacle is in your way that seems so insurmountable, if we trust in God and continually recognize that He is working on our behalf for our good, have a constant faith in Him, what He said He will do, we can overcome. Did you ever think about how simple and even trivial God's answer to a life or death situation of needing water was? He said, go to this city. There's a widow there. She'll take care of you. Not miraculous or any, by any stretch of the imagination. Just go there. She'll take care of you. I wonder, are we failing to see our widow of Zarephath because we fail to trust in God always? Our path in life is going to be filled with course corrections. There may be times where we feel like, is this the right path? Because of the difficulties, because of the pain, because of whatever suffering we might be going through, we may question, are we on the right path with God? But don't let that be a time when our faith fails. Let it be a time when our faith is tested, but when our faith can grow. I wonder, do you soar where the eagles are? Are you seated in the heavenly places? Christ Jesus, your Savior. You see, He's gone down the darkest path, your darkest path, and overcome your darkest obstacles when He came and He lived a life and He died for you so that you could be free from sin. He knows your way, and He has a widow of Zarephath waiting for you. You would but trust Him. So I'll close with these words. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Will you trust in your Creator this morning? If you don't have that trust, if you need Him in any way, His call is to you this morning. Won't you come? Together we stand and sing.